It is 17 past the hour with the Smuck Report. None other than Ken Smuckler. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Skip, Sybil, J. Antoine. Cruz suspends, Bernie contends, and Kasich continues to pretend. This is your Smuck Report. Last night, Ted Cruz suspended his campaign, leaving Donald Trump as the presumptive Republican nominee. This after Trump accused Cruz's dad of hanging out with Lee Harvey Oswald just hours before the assassination of JFK. So, Sybil, after 53 years, we now know it's true. It was Rafael Cruz all along on the grassy knoll at the Dealey Plaza in Dallas. And Trump last night was the political reincarnation of the single bullet theory. Donald Trump strikes Cruz, takes a left and fells the arena, then exits the back of John Kasich. But last night, we did start to see the new Donald on the stage of the Palace of Zamunda North, calling for one beautiful loving country where we care about each other, love each other, and cherish each other. I swear, Skip, it was like Trump was channeling the fifth dimension. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. And after all, last night Trump did call Cruz a tough, smart guy with an amazing future, which is, in the Trump to English dictionary, the definition of the word lying. And we saw last week Trump trying to become presidential, delivering a major foreign policy speech, which pundits called substantive and Jacksonian. Listen up, Skip. That speech was substantive only if the definition of the word substantive is the opposite of the definition of the word substantive. I mean, it had as much detail as a stick figure drawing. And Jacksonian? Yeah, Jay, it was Jacksonian. If by Jackson you're referring to Tito, Jackie, Marlin, or Jermaine, I am pretty sure would have made the same mistake that Donald made when he hit a multisyllabic country name like Tanzania, which the Donald called Tanzania, which is insania for a presidential candidate reading a foreign policy speech off a smucking teleprompter. And Trump's Make America Hate campaign rolled into California, where Trump is greeted by a crowd waving Mexican flags trying to block his entrance to an event at the San Francisco Airport Hyatt. Sybil, the last time Mexican flags were raised in defiance on Northern California soil, the Mexican army had taken over the Presidio and raised the Mexican flag over San Francisco Bay in 1821. Inside the Hyatt, Trump claimed his rallies were the safest places in America, which is like saying the American embassy in Baghdad is the safest place in Iraq, which may be true once you're inside the embassy. But getting in and out of there, I'm pretty sure you're going through the most dangerous neighborhoods on the smucking planet. Then Trump looks around at the Republican crowd and asks them how many in the San Francisco ballroom that afternoon were at his rally in Indianapolis the night before. And really, how self-absorbed do you have to be to believe that there are folks like you hopping on private planes to follow you from Indianapolis to San Francisco 2,000 miles away? I swear, Sybil, Donald Trump is more self-absorbed than Charlie Sheen with two hookers and an eight ball at the Plaza Hotel. On to Ted Cruz, who had a bad night Tuesday. I mean, Skip, a Lamar Odom at the Bunny Ranch. After losing Indiana to Trump and suspending his campaign, and how did it all go south for Cruz in the Hoosier State? First, he gets the endorsement of Governor Pence. But really, Skip, it was like watching Superman endorse kryptonite as a cure for erectile dysfunction. Second, Cruz threw a Hail Carly, selecting Texan by birth Carly Fiorina as his running mate. Jay, the last time a Texan was strapped to a cruise missile on the way to oblivion, Slim Pickens was bull riding an ICBM out of the B-52 Stratofortress on his way to nuclear annihilation in the 1964 movie classic Dr. Strangelove. Yeehaw! But hours after the Carly announcement, John Boehner, former Republican Speaker of the House, called Cruz Lucifer in the flesh. To which Cruz quickly responded, "Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste." But really, all was going just fine for Fiorina at the announcement until she decided to start singing a nursery rhyme to Cruz. Kids, at which point Ted Cruz looked more uncomfortable than Wolf Blitzer at the correspondence dinner. I swear, Jay, Carly singing on stage was creepier than a fairy tale of a little brother and sister kidnapped by a cannibal witch written by the brothers Grimm. And speaking of creepy bromances, did you catch Bobby Knight's endorsement of the Donald?
Yeah.
First, it was fitting, as the highlight of Bobby Knight's career read like the police report of a Trump rally in the Deep South. Temper tantrums, check. Pushing and shoving young African Americans, check. Throwing chairs, check. But then Bobby Knight speaks, and it's like watching Shady Grady Wilson on Stanford and Son. First, he praises Trump for having the cojones to drop an atomic bomb on a civilian population. Then, at one point, he asked the crowd if they were proud of the fact that the Hoosiers wear basketball uniforms with, of all things, the name Indiana on it. Really, Bobby? Why? Because they were smart enough not to put the name Iowa on them? And finally, let me say this about the state of Indiana. You have got to get over this Hoosier basketball thing. And don't get me wrong, Skip, I like the movie. But the Hoosiers have only made the NCAA Final Four just once in the last 24 years. And that was the year after Bobby Knight was fired for strangling one of his players. And the last time the Indiana Pacers made it to an NBA championship was year never. They only did it in the ABA, and even then, they lost the championship to the Kentucky Colonels, who were one step better than the Washington Senators, perennial losers to the Harlem Globetrotters, and that was in 1974. Memo to Indiana, pick another sport to be proud of, because hoops just ain't working for you. On to John Kasich, who once again disappeared on election night, like Michael Strahan's chair on Live with Kelly and Michael. And how about that alliance between Kasich and Cruz that had them split the upcoming states, an alliance that fell apart hours after it started. And who didn't see that one coming, Jay? I mean, really, the over-under on these two cats staying together on anything was shorter than Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. And what the smuck were these guys thinking? The guy they're trying to take out is telling everyone the system is rigged by Washington insiders, and then the two Washington insiders in the campaign cut a side deal to try to, you guessed it, Skip, rig the system. Nearly 60% of Republican voters thought these two were rigging the system, and over 20% said it impacted their vote. I swear watching these guys scheme against the Donald was like watching Colonel Clink and Sergeant Schultz scheme against the American POWs and Hogan's Heroes. I see nothing. I hear nothing. This morning, Trump stands at 1,007 delegates on his way to 1,237. Cruz ends with 546, Rubio 173, and Kasich 153. On to the Democrats and Bernie Sanders, who pulled off an upset, beating Hillary 52-47, which means, well, absolutely nothing. Why? Because his win netted him just 6 delegates, still leaving the Hill ahead of him by 290 pledged delegates, 1,700 to 1,410. And that doesn't include the unpledged superdelegates total, in which Hillary still holds a 520 to 39 lead. Bernie, when confronted with the mathematical impossibility of his winning the nomination, said he knows how to count, which I'm pretty sure, Sybil, he learned somewhere between the phasing out of the abacus and the phasing in of the slide rule. Bernie won last night despite his campaigns cutting 200 staffers, downsizing faster than Kim Kardashian's waistline after the birth of Saint West. Bernie says he's going to a contested convention. Skip, the only contested convention Bernie is going to this summer is the one held for the presidency of the Royal Order of Elks Lodge 1499 in Burlington. And finally, Hillary, who doubled down on the Donald's playing the woman card by yelling at rallies that if playing the woman card means support for equal pay and family and medical leave, then deal her in. But be careful what you wish for, Hillary. Yes, it is true that in every presidential election since 1964, more women have voted than men. And yes, it is true that Trump's rating among women is 23 favorable and 70 unfavorable, which is thus a few points above a wife beater. And yes, it is true. And yes, it is true that women came to understand it long ago that they were forced to play the women card because men have owned the deck, the shoe, and the table since a bunch of men in wigs convened in Philadelphia in 1776 to sign the Constitution that built the smucking casino in the first place. But even the endorsement of the Donald by boxing champ Mike Tyson days before the Indiana primary, the endorsement of a convicted rapist, a man convicted of raping an 18-year-old there in an Indianapolis hotel room, did not turn Indiana's women off Trump last night. Exit polls show Trump winning among women in Indiana 46-42. That's because Donald Trump is not the woman-hating candidate you think he is, Hillary. Donald Trump is Buddy Love. And when Buddy Love starts sprinkling the love dust around, he is irresistible. That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. And that's the Smuck Report. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at Smuck Report. On to Guam for the Dems, Nebraska for the Republicans, and West Virginia for both. Look for John Kasich to drop faster than Laramie Tunsil in the NFL draft. And look for Trump to start smacking Hillary around like cookie on the pool table, going after Boo Boo Kitty. Smuck off. Smuck off.
All right, Smuck for president.
Smuck for real.
Oh, man, it's good stuff, man. Almost made me feel smart listening to it.
Like, I know some stuff, man.
I know some things.